The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Another rarity on the David Spoon Experience, Expository Thursday is actually on a Thursday. Wow. Plus, are we still infants in the Word with baby Bible brains? Ooh, that's a new one. Baby Bible brains. And to speak the truth, we need to know the truth. But to speak in love, we need to know Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. How much do you really want to know about me? Spiritual observations. And my life's insanities every day, every hour. Oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation because it ain't professional radio. Well, you can't say ain't because ain't isn't a word. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it's in the dictionary. Ain't. Look it up. Ain't you got one? Yeah, that's right. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I'm in a good mood. You guys are in trouble today. That's all I got for you. We're going to do our expository teaching. Now, normally when we do expository teaching, we do not do our ministry partner's little sounds. And I don't do the full minute to minute and a half that I usually give them. So we're going to do something we haven't done, and I haven't even told Wonder Julie, so she's getting ready to hear what it is, and here's what we're going to do. Instead of doing it the way we normally do it, I'd like you to play all three sounds that we have right in a row.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Well, we're moving on.
Excellent job. Now, I just dropped that. I wonder, do she is so good. Not just at voices, not just at the, but that much command. She can do it right away. Good job there. She had no idea I was going to do that. So the first props is for Clint and Mr. Restore, because remember, we're not really doing the reading. But if you have any fire damage, get in touch with Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. Also, the second one had to do with Men of God Moving, and that's Johnny Hill. He'll be in tomorrow. Sent him off material for tomorrow's show. He'll be helping me co-host tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We always meet and have a great time of fellowship. Third one is for Stephanie Vasquez, who is our ministry partner, who's with New York Life Insurance Company, can help you get things rolling. Get things on the ball. Get things going if you have no savings, no life insurance, no idea what you're doing or where you're heading. And I wrote today's first commercial just to let you know for Kimberly McQuinn. Sent it off to her on the rough draft. We're going to go over that back and forth. But I just want to let you know that instead of the real estate realm dime a dozen scenario, how about somebody that's way past dime a dozen? That's my hint for you. And we're going to come up with a sound. I have to talk to her about what the sound is for them. Because, you know, it's real estate. I have to have something that sounds really, really kind of, I don't know, cool. But anyway, big props to all of them. I did talk with Clint today. He did have some eye stuff. He had to have his eyes checked or whatever yesterday. Just a little too tough to get in today. We have confirmed for Tuesday of next week. And I like that because when he comes in, you get great testimony. You get to talk about the Adaptive Training Foundation. Just cool stuff. and I like having him on board. Let's get right. We're going to get into the expository right after we go through what I consider to be one of the more unique holiday days, and this one is a classic. Any idea what the holidays are today at all?
I got Pi Day.
That is correct.
And I'm talking real pie, not 3.14.
Yeah, no, it's just not pie, not the arithmetic or algebra. The algebraic concept, not that actual pie. And there's some people even call it rhubarb pie day. I don't know about that, but it's pie day. So if you like, but what's your favorite pie?
I'm not big on pie, but if I did eat pie, it would be pumpkin.
Okay, pumpkin pie girl. That's what we got for Wonder Julie. I like pecan pie. I don't know what it is.
You know what? That's the big one, they said.
I just like it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's slap it on my thigh, slap it in
my
mouth.
Yeah, I've made it before, and I just can't go there. It's just a big pound of sugar.
It's tough, right? Today is also National Handwriting Day.
Oh.
And for those of us who understand why they invented the word processor, we are very appreciative that we probably don't celebrate National Handwriting Day all that much.
They're supposed to bring cursive back, though, in the schools.
Yeah, is that what they've been cursing in the schools for years.
Yeah. Cursive writing.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, and then here's one that you have not heard of. I promise. Ready? Today is National Snowplow Mailbox Hockey Day. You have to really dig for these. So this is because of all their hard work, snowplow drivers get a little fun today. They're allowed to see how many mailboxes they can knock over with their plows, and they're given 20 extra points for boosting one into the next township.
Nice.
Just thought I'd let everybody know that. It doesn't really have an impact on us here, but if we're thinking about people that live in Massachusetts, that's all I can say. That's all I got for them. Today in 1920, Fred Morrison was born. That's not that big deal to most people, except in 1937, he invented the Frisbee. So it's like, and you think, how did he invent the Frisbee? Because there's a disc and there's a, well, he made it into plastic and turned it into a toy. So that's kind of how they went about that. For those that really care about history, and none whatsoever, 1983 on this day, the A-Team with Mr. T made its debut.
I pity the fool.
All right, that's a good job. Boy, you and Fig Newtons. Okay, let's have our special music for expository music thing.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
We should probably start playing this at the end of the show. Because the show's over, people are like, oh, thank goodness. All right, let's get into it. We've been talking in our expository teaching. We've been doing this for a while now. I think we've been doing this for 6 months or so. We're at Ephesians chapter 4. We're looking at verse 14 and 15. I got to build it up, though, through verse 11 through 15 just to get through the whole process and make sure we keep it in context. But, hey, we're making progress. We have been on the air for 10 months, going to 11 months next month. That's pretty good. Here we go. So in Ephesians, if you remember, we talked about this last week and the week before, Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, verse 13, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now we pick up verse 14. Paul is going to continue his theme on maturity. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speak the truth in love, and we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Verse 14, pretty straightforward. Paul had talked about the immaturity. He talked about reaching a maturity, putting ourselves in a mature place in verse 13. In verse 14, he says, then we will no longer be infants. This is the nicest possible way in the Bible for him to say, baby Bible brains are bad. And what's baby Bible brains? Well, if you're young in the Lord, you're growing in the Bible, and you're maturing and you're getting older. It's just like a baby grows up into a little child, then grows up into an adult child, then grows up into a young adult, and then an adult, and then an elder, goes through that process. Here, Paul has a concern that people who are believers and are committed to the cause of Christ have neglected a very important element, and that is growing up or maturing in the word, in the truth. And we're going to see where that comes into play in a second. But what he says is he carries over that theme from verse 13 to 14 and says, he doesn't want us to be infants. The word infant in the Greek means simple-minded, watch this, and little knowledge. There's a movie a long time ago talked about people with little brains. It's like kind of what it's talking about. And so he's warning us about being immature because immaturity puts us in a position, and this is immaturity in regards to the truth, puts us in a position to be like a ship that is tossed by waves. I don't know if you've been in the ocean. I mean, you're in Texas, so you got some access to that way. If you've been to California or Florida, one thing about waves, they come one after another. They don't stop, do they? They just keep coming. And Paul's concern is that we would be like a ship, and uses actually a nautical term, and the ship is going up and down and side to side, and it's the image of instability. And his concern is that it's every wind of teaching that comes from the cunning and craftiness of men. It's false teaching coming from false teachers. The cunning of men, by the way, that word comes from cheating at dice, the cunning. The craftiness stops at nothing to deceive. And so there's false teaching, and don't kid yourself, false teaching has to come from somewhere. It may have its origin in Satan. It may have its origin in demons, but it has its communication through people. A demon doesn't sit on top of a building and then pronounce false teachings. He uses a person to do it. Like, ooh. So one of the things that we need to be aware of is by being immature in the truth, teachers come and they say this. This is why you have gospels that are perverted. This is why you have people that preach another Christ, because there is not a seizing of the legitimacy of the truth. And so when a non-truth comes into play, we don't have enough Bible brains to go, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Instead of learning what all the false teachings are, if we simply know exactly what the truth is, when a non-truth emerges, we will be able to distinguish. All you have to do, you don't have to know like a counterfeit $20 bill. You don't have to know what all the counterfeits are. You just have to know what the genuine $20 bill looks like in order for you to know if one is counterfeit or not. Same about the truth. All you got to do is know the genuine biblical truth. Know it in and out. Don't be baby Bible brains. Be a person who really engages in the word. And then when a falsehood comes, something that's wrong, a false teaching from a false teacher, you'll be able to go, that's not right. The word says this. The word says this. I'm not talking about disagreements in the word. I'm talking about people that intentionally lead people down the wrong path. Their intent is to deceive. You know how you stop that? You become mature. One of those methods of maturity is knowing what it is that is truth. We're going to come back and dive into this. I love this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey, this book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you ever want to get some of our music, the ins and outs, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com, where that music is free under the hymn, H-Y-M-N, hymn project, the hymn project. I know I can say it. Don't worry. Also, we'll have a trivia question coming up in just a second, but don't forget, 972-445-0770. Our website, hemustincrease.org, where your tax-deductible donation will go to furthering the ministry in our time and in our reach. That's our goal, just as straightforward as we can be. It's right there on the website, hemustincrease.org. I hardly ever talk about it, but I need to talk about it because we want to do some expansion. We want to get it rolling. Yesterday, we had our first minutes meeting. Yay! And so you can go to hemustincrease.org, or you can go to email david@hemustincrease.org. Give your tax-deductible gift, and we will use it. And you think, well, you know, what does $10 do or $20 do? A lot. And if we have 100 people doing that, it does a lot. You get the picture, what we're trying to do. Nothing, no pressure, by the way. If you can't do it, don't worry. I pray for the audience that you guys would all be blessed, regardless. There's nobody gets extra prayer. It's like, well, I'm just praying the Lord to bless you guys. You guys are cool, man. I got just a great group of people that love the Lord, and we're just doing it together. Another update on my grandson. My grandson, whose name is Easton Scott, so they've got a new medicine coming in. They're very, very hopeful. And my daughter and son-in-law just got approved for this medicine for an entire year at no cost. So it's like, wow. Because normally, guess how much? $18,000 a year. But they got approved for no cost. So I'm really happy about that and looking forward to seeing some good results there. And then finally, it probably looks like I'm going to be PhDing. So then you can have the next couple years of hearing me moan. I did get a program where you can speak, and it, you know, like a text to a speech to text kind of thing for the bigger papers, the ones that are 120, 150 pages. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. I need prayer. Okay. Here we go. Let's see how good we are doing today. Not a very difficult question, but I just wanted to see if you can pull this off the top of your head. Okay, this is where I'm going for. Top of your head, right? So Jesus fed 5,000 people, men, not including women and children. So odds are good. It could have been anywhere from 8,000 to 15,000. The question is, what did he use? What supplies did he have in Matthew? What did he use? There were two supplies, and I want to know what the supplies were and how many they had of them. What were the supplies? How many did they have? Just set. There you go. If you don't Google it, but you should be able to go into the Bible and find that. That should not be that difficult. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Why should this be important for us to be able to do? Why do these trivias? Verse 15, where it says, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in all things grow up in him. Instead, in opposition to immaturity, in the other direction of immaturity, Paul gives two keys to maturity. Now, there are many essential keys in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about when I was a child, I acted like a child, I spoke like a child, I functioned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. Of course, that speaks of maturity. But here in this text regarding Christian maturity and unity, he says, look, in opposition to being immature, in opposition to being baby Bible brains, in opposition to being of little knowledge, I'm going to give you a couple things that'll take you in the other direction. The first thing he says is speak the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you know what the truth is? God's word. Do you know what the big argument is? Well, you're talking about the Bible. And the Bible was written by man. No, Scripture is very clear how the Bible was written. The verbal plenary process of God. God communicated through his Holy Spirit to the authors what he wanted to do without eliminating the personality of the authors. It wasn't a dictation as much as a partnership, but the Lord wanted his message through, and so his points prevailed. Well, you're talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and who can know? God can know. He gave us the truth. This is what we're supposed to do. 39 in the Old Testament books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, 66 books. It's called the Biblos, which actually in Greek means the books. Okay? It's a collection, right?
Okay.
There is everything from people who are broke to kings. There is everything from wine makers or wine distributors all the way to fence builders. Every possible profession, every possible level, every possible connection to humanity, that's who was writing the book. And you think, well, after all, you know, people can just make mistakes and then they just write it all down. After all, it's filled with multiple contradictions. I'm just telling you this right now from a Christian apologetic point of view. It's not just myself. There are 10,000 just like this, every single contradiction completely eradicated when you examine the truth. Historical documentation-wise, the Bible is the number one historical evidence book ever, but 20,000 manuscripts compared to the second most, the Iliad, with 612. I mean, it's just, you can't even believe the empirical evidence is so overwhelming for the Bible. It's absolutely outstanding. In fact, in bibliology, it's one of the coolest things how consistent the thread is. There is no statistical analysis for how that could happen. It's impossible. Oh, by the way, we haven't even discussed the prophecies, that not one prophecy has failed, missed its target, or missed its time. Everyone exactly on time, perfectly. How's that possible? Here's how it's possible. The same God that created the universe created the book. You can believe he can speak the universe into existence, but the dude can't write a book? Are you kidding? Well, Dave, how do you know if it's the Good News Bible or the NIV or the English Standard Version? Every one of those Bibles, by the way, besides the point that there's less than a 1% variation, besides that, forget that, every one of those communicates the exact message that God wants to communicate. And you think, well, you know, eschatologically, I can see different. Every one of those communicates the exact message that God wants to communicate. If you want to try and make eschatology your stand in life, go ahead. I'm going to make mine on the salvation through Jesus Christ call. Because that's the doctrine that counts. That's the one that gets you in, regardless of how it comes about. And I'm never going to apologize for Christology or soteriology being equal on every plane and superior in regards to salvation being the single most important element there is. You don't get saved, it's over. It doesn't matter how it goes. And so we talk about this, and you talk about his word, and it's like, in order to be a person that speaks the truth, get this, you have to know the truth. You can't use somebody else's quotes. Well, Billy Graham said this. That's great. You're not Billy Graham. Oral Roberts said this. Great. You're not Oral Roberts. You're you. And you need to know what the word is. And maybe you gravitate to a certain place in the word. There's nothing wrong with that. Gravitate away as long as you're communicating and speaking in truth. And I will say this to the shame of the church, and it is really to our disadvantage, and I think Paul was talking about it back then. We should all have a better handle on what God has to say. I mean, that's just true. I mean, we make time for everything. I was at Stillwater Community Church on Sunday, and the pastor was just talking about this one point. He said he's binge watched some shows on Netflix. He goes, maybe he should binge watch In the Book. Like, yeah, there you go. And it's like, if you understand what's going on, it's like we will put hours and hours and hours into things that we enjoy. We will spend, well, some people will spend 5 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, all surrounded around the Super Bowl for a week from Sunday. They just love it, right? I don't think there's anything really wrong with that. Unless you're neglecting God and spending time in his word and spending time with him in prayer, where that relationship is developed. That's where there's a problem. You want to spend 8 hours getting into the Super Bowl, who cares? That's great. As long as God is not on this way, way, way back burner. How do you know God's on the way, way, way back burner? Because you go to church and you think the greatest thing in the world is you're giving them a 20 out of your wallet, and aren't you nice? Dude, that is wrong. That's the wrong spirit. You're lucky, graced, blessed to be in the house of God. And you're not doing God any favors. It's not like he's up there going, oh, well, at least they're full. At least the church is full. He's got a program. Get with his program or you'll be out of his program. That's it. It's not, it's not like it is in other places. Well, you know, this works for this. And this is God's house we're talking about, heaven. You want to come to God's house? You go in his way. You come to my house, I'll tell you how to come in. I'll tell you when to come. I'll tell you how to come. I'll tell you what to bring, what not to bring. In my house, right? Well, heaven is God's house. It's not an eclectic people mindset. And the reason I'm firm about that is because I think it's important. I think if you only spend 5 minutes in the Word, you're doing better than half the Christians. But here's my encouragement. Spend 6 minutes. Do that for a year. Then spend 7 minutes. I read a psalm and a proverb every day. I think that's super duper. Add a chapter in another book. You can do it. You know why you can do it? Because you can do it. That's why. Okay? You can do it because you can do it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes things go according to plan, sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help his kids, but he does want us to use the wisdom he gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, Insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12.
What is the David Spoon experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to say howdy, 972-445-0770. We got a trivia question that we'll bring back out in just a second. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Plus, David at hemustincrease.org for an email. If you go to the website, by the way, you can link to all of our ministry partners, and it has a, you know, fill out here to contact us kind of page. We don't sell lists or do stuff like that. You know, it's not like that. Okay, I want to go back to the question. Jesus fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Talked about this in Matthew 14. What were the foods and what were the amounts? What were the food? How much of what? I know I'm asking that terribly. I'm just doing an awful job. So there were different kinds of foods and different amounts. What were those? What did he feed the 5,000 with? 972-445-0770. So now I know this very last segment I just did seemed tough. I'm not completely unaware. I'm just partially unaware. And I was really trying to get firm in there and talk firm. And I wasn't even that mean. And you should see, I could really get mean. That's unfortunate. And why I did that is simply this. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth. And so that I was just concentrating on that part right there. And now we're going to do the flip side of that called the in love. Speaking the truth in love. See, there are many different movements that take place in the church. There have been documented movements. Some of them are really good. Some of them are really weird. Some of them make no sense at all. But really, how you tell whether a movement is from the Lord or not is not how much money it is. It's not how popular it is. It's none of that. It's how many people get saved and make decisions to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. That is the number one marker in regards to what kind of movement is taking place. Even if it's a movement of repentance amongst the church, it's how many people respond to that, even to the point of salvation, has always been the marker for the church to determine this is from the Lord, this is not from the Lord. It's always the number one marker, just so you can know. Just giving you kind of church ecclesiology 101. So what happens, though, is that we learn the truth, we learn the Bible, we'll have a pastor, we'll have a teacher, you'll go to school, you'll go to Sunday school, you get all these different teachings, and you get all this information. And then when it's time to share, unfortunately, way too many of us, myself included, probably myself at the front of the pack, instead of communicating these things with the spirit that Jesus communicated them, we use a little bit more of a shotgun approach. So when it says speaking the truth in love, that doesn't mean that you say it, everything I say is going to be so soft-toned so you don't get offended. That's not what I'm talking about at all. It's not what the Scripture's talking about. What the Scripture is talking about is that you're never bringing the truth in so you can win the argument. I know more than you. I've won. Okay, that's not love. That's pride. The idea is that when you're communicating the truth of God, it has a purpose. It has a point. And that point goes back to that same thing we were just discussing, and that is that it draws people to the Lord. The idea is not to show how much ultimate knowledge you have. The idea is to communicate the truth of God so that person can engage with God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. And you might know a person be in your family, and they might swear off the Lord and swear that everything in the church is bad. And they're the kind of people that's like, I'm not going to church. There's too many hypocrites. And that's, of course, when you have to learn the smarty lines like, well, what's one more? But the idea is really to grasp that your communication of the truth is to help draw them to the Lord. That's the goal. The goal is not to win the day because you can cite more than they can cite. I've had 100 arguments like that. Won a lot of them, lost a lot of them. Probably not the way to go about things. The way to go about things, and I'll tell you an experience that happened to me, and you can just work through it, okay? I mean, I'm just trying to share what I think it is. So a long time ago in Phoenix, Arizona, back in the day, I went to a Farrell's. Do you guys remember Farrell's? Remember Farrell's ice cream parlor, and they had the zoo and all that fun. Remember all that? That's when life was a little more fun. Anyway, so I was there and I was having some ice cream, and this guy was talking to me, and we just started chatting. He was a waiter, and we had a very nice conversation. And he said, "Well," he said, "I think that reincarnation is what I want to go with." I said, well, why is that? And he goes, I don't think I can get everything done this life, and I think I want to try in the next life, I don't think the Bible says anything against that, and I just said what the Bible does say is it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. I said, so as much as I want you to be able to pull that off, the Scripture doesn't allow that, doesn't permit for that. It's just not there. And as much as you want to do a repeat and a repeat and a repeat, and as much as that sounds super cool, if you're using the Bible as any source of authority, it doesn't give you that space because it's appointed unto man once to die. He just looked at me like, uh-oh, I need to rethink that. And you see, now I could have just you just blast it and go, oh, that's from this. Its origin is here. It comes from this. It's this and it's this and it's this. Or I can just tell him the truth in love and hope he gets it. Because guess what I can't do? I can't make that guy be a Christian. Even if I present the gospel the best possible way, I can't create that. only God can draw a heart and turn it on for the truth. I can't do that. I can present the truth. It's just that I am not the one that creates that dynamic of that salvation. God is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, not me. I mean, I wish I could, wish we all had that power. We don't. So when we're speaking the truth, we need to know the truth. And that last segment was all about me trying to say to you, you got to know it. You got to know what it says. You got to get your BFN in the book, your big fat nose. Yeah, you do. You got to know what it has to say. And you got to work it together and grow in that and mature in that. And then when you share that with somebody, you need to be aware that you're speaking the truth in love, trying to present the truth of God for them to have essentially a lifeline. Because if they reject the truth and they reject the gospel and they reject Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. Well, I don't believe that God would create a hell. Well, God doesn't care if you believe that or not. Don't you understand? It's there. And if it's not there, then Jesus is a liar. So pick. And so the purpose of that is so that we can speak the truth in love. We're supposed to be speaking the truth and speaking it with love. Speaking the truth is knowing his word. Speaking in love is knowing his heart. And people that only know the word and don't know his heart, they're the most legalistic people in the universe. And if I wasn't a Christian, they wouldn't help me get in. That's for sure. Legalistic people are a drag. You know, it's also a drag is the peace, groovy, everything's fantastic. I wear tie-dye and sandals and hear smoke a doobie people. They're just as bad. It's like, come on. I mean, grow up. But the bottom line to that is that we're supposed to speak the truth in love, and by speaking the truth, which is knowing what his truth is, what his word has to say, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth, and by understanding that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, by speaking the truth, we're knowing what his truth is, and we're knowing what his word is, and by speaking in love, we're knowing what his heart is, and you put those two together, and that's what we use. That's why Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not like regular weapons, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And those strongholds are things that separate those people from God. And then Paul kind of, he does this really, it's kind of an amazing way that he does it. He's just like, look, if you're speaking the truth and you're speaking it in love, you're going to grow up. It's like, really? My problem is I try to speak the truth. I try to speak in love. My grow up part's not going very well. I'm still struggling on that part. I'm still in the, you know, you can't get in unless you're like a child. Okay, I qualify. So, but my point to you is simple, to know his truth and to know his heart and to communicate that, that's maturity. Plus, it also separates you from being tossed back and forth by these waves of false teaching and these false movements and things come into the church. If you've been around the church for any length of time, you know certain teachings blow in, blow up, and blow out. It's like, yeah, that's not impressive. What's impressive is that the truth endures forever. And Jesus said, you know what? The earth's going to pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But my word, that's not going anywhere. That's the reliability and the foundation with which we have, which we understand and connect to God. And that love is that helps us in that communion. The word helps us to make that prayer matter and mean something. And you need both. You need one or the other. It's not just a heart ministry. It's not just a truth ministry. It's speaking the truth in love. It's both. We should all be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to do that. That's better. And just even a little bit better is a lot better than doing nothing. All right? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now listen, I've done a lot of interviews, and every once in a while you do an interview with somebody who's legendary, and he doesn't even know why he's legendary. And when I tell him, he's going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. The legendary Josh McDowell with us, co-authoring the book with his son, Sean, The Beauty of Intolerance, joins us live. Josh, are you there with us?
It's sure better to join you live than dead.
I love it.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Probably want to have that David part. That probably matters to some degree. Now, I do know a couple things, and I'm gonna throw out our trivia question. We have done some rewiring, and now our internet works. I'm so happy in the studio, and so we're gonna be doing some more live streaming on Facebook starting next week. I don't think we're having any phone problems tonight, but I'm surprised that we don't have a response to the trivia. So I'm gonna offer it up again. If you're not able to give it to me, then I will answer it at the end of this segment. The question is: when Jesus fed the 5,000, what food did he use? That is the question. When Jesus fed the 5,000, what food did he use? 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. If you have an answer, give us a holler, and we'll be glad to put you on there and see if that matches up. You know, one way or another, you're going to get to the truth, because that's kind of what we do. That's kind of how we exist, is to get to the truth and to use it wisely. So what we've been talking about is Ephesians chapter 4, basically verses 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to close out with verse 16. But verse 14, then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. And we're going to close in with verse... Oh, well, we'll get to verse 16 in just a second, but first, let's get somebody to answer the trivia question. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Carmen.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. All right.
Thank you.
This is a great, kind of an interesting question because Jesus fed 5,000 men besides women and children. So we don't have the exact number. We just have a ballpark, but we think we know. What did he use to feed them?
Well, I'm going to go with 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, the little boy had.
Okay, so all I want you to do is reverse the numbers. Like, reverse the numbers. Give me five.
2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
5 loaves and 2 fishes is correct!
Well, you know me, I'm driving home from work when I'm listening, so I have to kind of...
Yeah.
Touch my memory.
You have to worry. And you know what's so funny is, and I've just so you can know, I'm just being totally forthright. So I've mixed those two up for about 40 years. I just go two loaves and five fish.
It just seems strange to have 2 loaves of bread and five fish for that many people. So you automatically just want to switch it to the other way. You know,
that's exactly
like that's
right.
That's going to make it go that much further. Who knows?
That is hilarious because it's like, yeah, like that's going to make a difference with about 9,000 people.
Right.
That's great.
The tendency to make it make sense that's a little bit better.
Yeah. Awesome. Excellent job. I appreciate you calling in. It's always a blessing to have somebody call in and who's part of the show. I really do appreciate it and appreciate your
well,
love and support.
Thank you. Appreciate listening to it. I get tired of listening to the Democrats and Republicans fighting.
I hear you. All right, sister, God bless
you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, so we got an answer to that. I was kind of getting concerned that the phones might not work because we did that for 2 days. We're like, hey, nobody's calling in. And then we found out the phone lines weren't working. It's like, yeah, it's really tough to call in when they don't. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's go to verse 16. I just want to finish this off. For him, from him, and that's referring to Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I could spend 2 full hours on this text. And I have actually talked about this text before. It really comes down to this. Being mature has a lot to do with knowing the truth, communicating that truth with the right spirit, a spirit of love, not a spirit of, it's all cool, no problems, no issues. No, you speak the truth in love, wanting those people to make connections to the Lord. And then it says, from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. That's you. The body is held together. Of course it's held together by the Holy Spirit. Of course it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course it's under our Heavenly Father. But Paul's putting responsibility on the people and saying, you're a supporting ligament. You got to be a part of this. You know, the loner Christianity, I've done it. I've been burned by it. It's not a great place to be. You can't be in that. I don't care if you go to church at a distance. Just go connect somewhere. Have a body of believers that can pray for you. It's really tough to work some of this stuff out in Christianity if you have no fellowship. Doesn't make any sense. It says every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I've mentioned before, and I'll mention again, that sometimes your work might be just being there. It might be being a participant in giving. It might be a participant in prayers. I mean, the praying ministry is so important. I don't know why people don't recognize how important it is, but just your simple prayers for the church that you're connected to makes a big difference. And you think, God's going to do it one way or another. God released Peter from jail, Acts chapter 12, because the church was praying for Peter. Unfortunately, when Peter was released in answer to their prayer, they didn't believe it because we're good at that. But the reality check is growing up in the Lord has to do with being aware that there's winds and waves of false teachers and false teachings all over the place. The way to be stable, the way to be mature, the way to not have baby Bible brains is to know the truth, speak that truth in love, and be connected and a supporter of your brothers and your sisters. Verse 13 through 16 really make an interesting case for the church to grow up by serving and by proving our love through serving one another. It's a fascinating way to do it. It's like, look, you want to prove your love, be a part of this. Be committed to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors, love yourself. Hey, guess who's part of your neighbor, that neighbor element? It's not somebody you've never seen. It's the body of believers that's always primary. Do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. Especially. It's like that's your first line. So I'm going to introduce you to a new term. I'm going to PhD this term. I'm going to get this. I promise. I'm going to get this authorized for a PhD. We all need to work on our Jesusness. You like that term? Jesusness. I mean, Jesus, you know, he separated and spent time in devotion by himself with the Lord. Then he came back in with the disciples. And then from the disciples in that small group of fellowship, he went into the crowds. He was all of it, not one or the other. It's all of it. And there are times you need to be by yourself. I mean, I support that. And there are times you need to be with a smaller group, Peter, James, and John. And there's times you need to be with a group of 12. And there's times you need to be with a group of 70. And then there's times you need to be in the multitudes. All of those. But let's do a better job of our Jesusness. Let's grow up a little in this. Let's serve one another, demonstrating our love, proving our love, not just proclaiming it, but demonstrating it. Because the church is joined by the Spirit. We're held by each person's effort, and we become mature, and we strengthen one another. Comes through his truth, through his heart, through his gifts. And we do this in love by serving one another, not by separating and having the only friend you have be a 36-inch or a 48-inch box where you think you can control everything because you have a remote. That's not the control of life. Partner with God. Be a part of what he's trying to do. You know what? Here's the easiest way to say it. Be the blessing God designed you to be for other people. Be that. Let that Jesusness part of you come forward. I encourage you to do that. And if you can't do it in one big step, do it in little baby steps. One thing at a time. One step at a time. One glory at a time. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.